Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health, oh my gosh, it's our business. And we're friends. We don't let friends feed kibble. You know what, Dr. Jasek, here is something that I want to bring up. I recently had a pet food store kind of cut us down. You know, it was like questioning, you know, what we were doing for the health of the pets. And I said to the pet parent, I said, let me ask you, which company is selling kibble crap and which is not, right? If which company is really in the business of pet health? Because, you know, we could bring in some stuff that wasn't so healthy. But if you look around the pet food stores, and I'm just making a comparison here, that they're still selling kibble and all kibble. I don't care what kind of kibble it is. It's still dry, dead, carcinogenic food for your dogs. Would you agree with that statement? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could not in good conscience recommend any kibble. And I do still have some people that ask and that get very frustrated because they don't feel like they can afford raw, or, you know, it's for whatever reason, it's not going well, or, you know, we were talking about this before the show too. It seems to me that some people just, they kind of think it's a good idea, but really, really in their mind, they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. They want to do the kibble. They want to pour the kibble in the bowl and forget it. They want the easy, cheap option. And I think what I see, because what I hear from people is the reasons why raw is not working. A lot of times I just don't feel like it's legitimate, because when we work with people, when people are really motivated and we work with people, get their dogs through the transition, pretty universally they do well. I mean, we may have to, you know, tweak exactly what we're feeding or how much or different blends, but for the most part, dogs will do well on raw. And when we just keep running up against resistance, I really believe that's from the people. And so for anybody listening that just doesn't think raw is working, I would look at, you know, where are you coming from? Is this something you really want to do? You're really motivated and you really believe it's the best thing for your pet? Because, you know, I definitely do. I definitely believe that this is the best thing for pets, and I will not endorse any kibble. I don't care how expensive it is or high end or what their marketing claims are. It's like you said, Dee Dee, it is dead, toxic food, all of them.
Well, I was reading in Steve Brown's book, and he was talking about carcinogens and allergens in pet foods. And he said, dietary carcinogens are believed to play a greater role in causing cancer than was previously thought. Most of the specific carcinogens have not been yet characterized, but we're talking about aflatoxins as one, which is generated by molds and grains. But he goes on to say that high temperature cooking creates these deadly toxic carcinogens. And this is the way that all dry food is made. It has to be made with these incredibly high temperatures. And then they extrude it. And most of these dog food companies, Dr. Jasek, are making 50,000 pounds at a time. And we smell it. And all of you that are out there that have a Purina plant by you, it smells really bad when they are cooking this stuff. But this is where the carcinogens really develop. It's when you're cooking things at high temperatures, and that's the way that all kibble is made. So if you come to us and you say, well, I'm feeding a better than a Roy, okay, it's still cooked at a high temperature. It's still denatured. It still has no moisture. It still has synthetic vitamins and minerals. So that is what we want you to understand. Raw is in the refrigerator or in the freezer. It's not left in a bag. That is not raw. I don't care what it says, if it's raw, wrapped, whatever. You can't mix a high extruded, baked, cooked, dead food with raw and it be real raw in a bag, as some of these.
Well, yeah, it's not going to be stable. You can't, raw needs to be refrigerated. It's going to spoil if you don't keep it refrigerated. So you can put something that's truly raw in a bag and call it raw.
No, that ain't raw, people. Yeah. That's marketing.
And you know, I've heard this on the human side too, that even like grilling, like you could take the best steak or piece of chicken or whatever in the world and you throw it on the grill and you cook it at high temperatures, like grilling temperatures, and you get those nice grill marks on it. We like to do in the summertime. That's creating pretty serious toxins in there that because exactly what you're saying, you are denaturing those proteins and those fats. And you literally are creating toxins on that meat. And that's fresh meat thrown on the grill for a couple of minutes. When you take, a dry food that is, God knows what in it to begin with, and then you cook all that stuff at these super high temperatures, and they have trans fats and all these things that are not healthy to begin with, and then you cook them at these really high temperatures, it's even more toxic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to ask you a question because we had a question come in. This particular pet parent has just put their dog on raw, only been on raw for a week, and the protein is turkey, one that we recommend quite often when we're getting a dog switched over, because turkey probably has the least reaction of any proteins. And honestly, most proteins, you're not going to get a reaction out of them. It's when we talk about a reaction, people say, well, is my dog going to vomit? Well, it depends on the pH level, right? How damaged is their gut? Are the digestive enzymes turned on? I don't see dogs vomiting too much. And then the other question is my dog going to have the runs? And my response to that is, well, if you put a bunch of crappy treats in with it, probably. But here's my question. Turkey PMR, been feeding this dog for a week. The dog has broken out in hives, specifically on the face. So the question was, has the turkey caused my dog to break out in hives to the point that the pet parent has now given the dog a steroid shot and Benadryl?
I think it's highly unlikely that those hives are caused from the food. I really do not believe that true food allergies are at all common. I think, and that's the knee-jerk reaction, especially with skin issues, is, oh, it's got to be the food, and then it's got to be the protein. And what people don't often look at is, are they feeding any carbs in the diet? And I pick this apart with people all the time. What are you feeding? What are you feeding for treats? What are you adding in? I had one client that was adding in squash, organic squash from her garden. It was a winter squash, and we're having these chronic itchy problems. And I said, we need to stop all the carbs for 2 weeks, and then let's just see what happens. And she didn't want to do it because she said, well, this is healthy stuff. It's from my garden. Like, I know, but it's still a carbohydrate, and carbs cause inflammation because they all break down into sugar. I don't care if it's fresh and organic and all that, it still breaks down into sugar. And she actually finally did pull her dog off the carbs, and she sent a very nice email saying, you can give me a big I told you so, but 2 days and my dog's itching is dramatically reduced. And so it may not be that dramatic in all cases, but my point is that the protein that's being fed is usually what's immediately incriminated. And I think true protein allergies are actually extremely rare. And even if a dog is sensitive to something in the food, as far as a true allergic reaction, I would not expect it to show up in the form of hives. Not that it's impossible, but I think that would be unlikely. We're more likely to see, gut issues, tummy aches, things like that. And, I think we have to be so careful when we're assigning, cause and effect. So there's a big difference between cause and effect and association. So this dog's diet changed, it has hives. Well, what else has the dog been doing? Where's the dog been? Was it out running in the weeds where it could have reacted to something? Could it have been bit by a bee or a spider? Insects are kind of moving inside this time of year because the nights are getting chilly. So, we have more spiders in the houses inside because it's warmer. So you could have a spider bite. Was the dog given any other pharmaceuticals or vaccines or any kind of medication? I mean, there's so many variables that can go into that, that to just immediately pin it on the food is, I think an error. And I think the sad thing is then raw gets blamed and then people don't want to feed raw anymore because it made their dog sick. And so if you really wanted to know, take the dog off of the turkey for a week, feed it something else, go back to what you're feeding before if you have to, and then try it again and let's see. And if you can repeat it, if you can repeat that same reaction every time you feed that dog turkey, then I'd believe, okay, we got something going on here. But I'm pretty certain that that would not be the case, that there was something else going on. And I think people really need to look at, what else is going on, because with raw, it's like, there seems to be like this mentality that people are looking for something to be wrong with it. Like it's guilty until proven otherwise. I know this is going to be bad for my dog, or there's it's just a high probability of reactions feeding this raw food. So they're looking for something to go wrong and don't even think about looking at what else was going on for the dog. Or, dogs got their noses down on the ground all the time. So a reaction on the face, God knows what that dog could have been exposed to. Probably something in the environment would be my guess. But it's the raw that tends to be blamed. And I think we have to be, really careful about, assigning that cause and effect unless you can repeat it. And if it's a true sensitivity, then that dog should get that same reaction over and over and over again.
Right. So we have to really be careful. And like you said, there's let's try a few things before we make an assessment. But every single day, we have a new client that came over. Dog is doing fabulous. I mean, just doing great. I mean, this particular dog had really bad skin problems and been feeding raw for 2 or 3 weeks now. Went to the vet. Vet scared them to death. Said, oh my gosh, you're going to get sick. Your family's going to get sick. The husband said, listen, I don't think they could have all these great reviews. And people would be lying if, in fact, they were killing dogs or hurting dogs.
It'd be bad for business, probably.
It would be bad for business. But I am baffled that, I'm not baffled. As I've said so many times, Dr. Jasek, I really do feel, and I try to explain this to my pet parents, you have to understand that for most traditional veterinary centers and clinics, this is an outlet for the pharmaceutical companies, and they're their sales funnel. So to realize that something else is going to make a pet healthy is not in their best interest. It's just like what we're talking about with the hydrochloricin, right? Cheap, does the job, but hey, we've got to have something else that's more expensive. So we really would like for you guys to reach out, ask us those questions before you make your final decision. I have a neighbor who has had a dog on prescription diets, on been taking the dog to the vet for 5 years. This dog has had chronic diarrhea, Dr. Tracy, chronic diarrhea. So we know that the dog's not getting adequate nutrients, right? Just pooping it out. It's got gut issues. So she finally made the decision to go to raw. Within 2 days, this dog's poops have firmed up. Mm. 2 days. Now, I said, what else are you giving your dog? Well, opened up the cupboard, happened to have a bunch of Pedigree treats, bunch of Pedigree dental chews. And so I said, listen, do not give that dog any of this stuff. And I just wanted to go over with my listeners today, what's actually in Pedigree? And you can go to their site and you can read. And they're quite proud of these ingredients, Dr. Jay-Z. They're quite proud. They said, so let's take a look at some of the good stuff we use in our recipes. Well, let me ask you, Dr. Jay-Z, do you think this is good stuff? They use ground whole corn, ground whole wheat, meat and bone meal. When you're talking about meal, remember they're taking it and they're baking it and they're cooking it at super high temperatures, totally denaturing it. Then they have corn and gluten meal, vegetable oil, and brewer's rice. That hurts me just to say it.
No kidding. All carbs, all processed carbs. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you have those processed carbs like that, you may as well be feeding a candy bar. I mean, it's all sugar. It's all sugar and it all breaks down into sugar. And there's, you know, processed carbs all cause the same effects in the body. So yeah, go feed a candy bar to your dog. It would be the same thing, which most people would think, oh, well, that's not good. Yeah, but these treats, they're just as bad. And it doesn't matter if it's even a little bit, because I've heard people say this, well, I just give a small little treat, or just get that one little treat at the bank drive-through. Even a little bit is enough to set off a reaction in some individuals. You know, if your dog is just stone healthy and they can have that occasional little snack, just like we might have an occasional, you know, candy bar or little snack that we don't eat all the time, and it doesn't cause any ill effects, you know, then fine. It's probably okay. But when we have chronic inflammation, whether it's skin or diarrhea or wherever it's showing up, you've got to get this stuff out of the diet and get all that inflammation calmed down. And then if your dog can stay perfectly, your dog's perfectly healthy, then, and you can give that treat and it doesn't set him off, then great. But what I find very frustrating is people come to me to help them with their dogs, and then they push back on some of these changes. But my dog has ate it all its life. Yeah. And your dog is sick, right? So is it working? Like, that, if that's working so well for you, why are you coming to me for recommendations? Because I'm going to tell you to stop that. Let's get a new baseline. At least just do it for a month. Just try it for a month and see what you notice. Because these things are causing this, you know, chronic inflammation. And until you stop them completely, they have to be completely off of them, you are not going to be able to help that pet and get this inflammation to calm down.
No, and I want you guys to go to the Pedigree website, because this isn't even just talking about treats, Dr. Jacy. This is what this is what their website says. Professional nutrition. All Pedigree recipes are created with quality ingredients and formulated for our professional nutrition to bring out your dog's best. And then it says our ingredients. And that's what I just read you. Now, there's nothing. So they use these words, professional. What does that mean? And your dog's best. What does that mean? Because no dog could be performing their best on these ingredients. No possible way.
Right. They're using words that sound good but don't mean anything. You know, professional, or, you know, your dog's best. Well, that doesn't mean anything. It's not proving anything. It's not speaking to the quality of the food. Yeah, these companies, so Pedigree, I don't know what huge corporate conglomerate owns them, but I'm sure one of them does, you know, Mars or Colgate or one of these. They have marketing experts. I mean, they know how to play with people's minds. They know what words to use. They know how to play on your emotions. And, you know, the TV commercials. I used to tell people, don't buy any food you see advertised on TV, because they're putting all their money into marketing and they're producing a really cheap food and they're just playing on your emotions, because you got the, you know, the beautiful dog running through the field of daisies or whatever. And like, oh yeah, that dog looks really healthy. So they're, and that dog may not even be eating that food. They're just training you to make that association. Oh, that dog looks really healthy. So if it looks really healthy eating this food, then it's going to make my dog healthy. And none of that could be even true. They are just trying to get your mind to make associations between good health and their product. And it doesn't have to be true. Actually, most of the time, it's not true.
Pedigree is owned by Mars. You were absolutely right. And here's where I think that they start playing with people's minds. So they say, our pet nutrition center, which is called the Waltham Pet Care Science Institute, they've had it for almost 50 years. And they say their Pet Care Science Institute has led the world in advanced pet care research, like skin, coat health, energy requirements, immune health, dental health, digestive health. And yet we look at the ingredients and we say, all we see from that Waltham, whatever your name is, Pet Care Science Institute, is sick dogs. Mm-hmm. All we see are dogs with bad skin, itchy dogs. Dental health? Seriously? Dental health? Come on.
Yeah, that's another really great marketing thing, that eating, you know, dry food or milk bones actually, I think, came out with that. You know, you saw the commercial on the dog with the little sparkly star in their teeth because eating those milk bones really helps clean the teeth. And it nothing could be further from the truth. Those dry foods, because they crumble and they stick to the gum line, they actually create plaque. I mean, that's a huge fallacy out there. That, and I still hear, you know, I will still have people ask me, well, if I take my dog off dry food, how am I going to keep their teeth clean? Like, well, eating raw, which is naturally abrasive, especially if you're feeding some chicken feet or necks or something like that, if that's the best thing in the world for cleaning teeth. So that's a great example of one of these marketing claims that has absolutely no basis, but people believe it because it's been said, it's been out there for so many years, and then people just don't question it. But people need to start questioning things.
Well, and there's lots of research that says if you get people familiar, this is why they do the commercials, right? So they get you familiar with a brand, right? So Pedigree, 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 Pedigree. When you walk into the store where you're actually going to pull the money out of your wallet and walk out with the product, once you're familiar with something, you trust it. Familiarity brings on this trust. This is why we have advertising. They are familiarizing you with the product. They're building trust from their pictures, and now you go into the store and you're going to actually give them your money. That's how that works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're building associations. They're building brand association. And, you know, they don't want you to think. They just, they're just training you to have this emotional reaction that, oh yeah, I saw that, you know, thing on TV and this brand, and there it is in the store, and I could take that home and give it to my pet, and they're going to be so healthy. Well, just, you know, read the ingredient list. Like, you read the ingredient list and use your common sense and just ask yourself, does this stuff look appropriate? Does it look healthy? Would you eat a food? I mean, if you were buying food for your family, would you buy a food that had ingredients that are in your pet's food? I bet most people wouldn't. But it's okay to give it to your pet because, you know, the TV commercial said it was healthy.
Yeah. I really want to do a podcast, Dr. Jasek, on feces. I really do. I want to find out what bacteria, what parasites, what is in feces, because I always have to make this comparison when vets say, you really got to be careful of that raw dog food. That raw food's going to make your family sick. And I want to say it's a human grade food. And yes, it's raw. But we know that cooking it at high temperatures releases carcinogens, okay, toxic things that you're automatically feeding to your dog. But we all know that dogs lick their butt, and we all know that dogs walk around and they step in poop because they don't know not to, and they lick their paws. And we also know that dogs eat poop. And so, Mike, I would really like to do a podcast on what's in feces, right? What the heck is in the feces? Because yeah. this is something that you can really wrap your mind around, you know, viruses, bacteria, parasites, they're all living organisms, and they're found all around us. It's so funny with this whole COVID thing, Dr. Jasek. I have to laugh every time I go into a restaurant. We were talking about this earlier, because that, I want to tell you something, that COVID virus is so daggum smart. Do you know how smart it is?
How smart is it?
It knows not to go past the aisle and into the table setting.
Right. Because it read the mandate, right?
It read the mandate and it said, in this section, you can take your mask off and the virus won't come over here. Oh, my brother, God, I love my brother. I love to be around my brother. He's the funniest guy in the world, and his comebacks and his wit is so fast. So he's in Oklahoma, and they have a mandate in their gyms, right, that they have to wear a mask, except when you're doing cardio, okay, when you're doing cardio. So they made this stink because when you walk in, right, there's this lane you can walk in, and you have to wear your mask. And then if you're doing cardio, you can take your mask off. And so my brother said, if I have to do cardio, if I can keep my mask off when I'm doing cardio, then I'm going to jog into the gym and I'm going to jog out of the gym. And they had to say, okay.
Right. Because that's the rule, right? He's running. It's cardio.
Right. He says, I'm running in here and I'm running out and I'm not wearing a mask.
I mean, you know, when this whole thing started, I wore a mask. I actually closed my practice for a couple of weeks because I didn't know what to do. Like, is this really scary? Is this like, you know, we've seen these scary movies like Outbreak, and these were like people die from these diseases. Like, is this serious? You know, I've never been, you know, lived in an area that actually had a pandemic going on, and I didn't know, so I was more cautious. But, you know, as time goes on and we learn more things, we need to evolve our way of thinking. And this is, like you said, we need to use our brains. Like, okay, now I'm looking at, okay, this has been around for 6 months. I'm not hearing about, I mean, just in the people I talk to in my circles, I don't hear about anybody getting sick from this. Our hospitals are not overwhelmed with sick people. You don't see people dropping dead from this thing. And then you hear a lot about, you know, there's a lot of false positives on the tests, and the tests may not even be accurate. So there's a lot of reasons, I think, to even question the statistics. But when I just use my common sense and look around at what's going on, like, yeah, I think we can, you know, loosen up a little bit. That makes sense. Plus, it's, you know, staying locked down is not healthy for people. We're social beings, and we need social interactions in order to be mentally healthy and spiritually healthy. We need to be interacting with other people. I think, and then all that stress isn't good for our pets either. I think we need to use our common sense and just slowly kind of start to open up a little bit. Like, you know, I guess if you're required to wear a mask somewhere, well, maybe now, Dee Dee, though, what if we run into the stores? Because, hey, I'm exercising and it's not healthy for me to wear a mask if I'm exercising. So I don't have to wear a mask. Or in the restaurants, just run to our tables.
I'm going to run really fast. So I was in a restaurant the other day. You have to walk in with the mask, and literally the bar is an arm's length away from where we walk in. Now, as soon as you sit down at the bar, you can take your mask off. But if you're standing up an arm's length away, you got to keep your mask on. Because, again, that virus, incredibly smart. It knows not to go outside of the lines. It knows not to go to the table of where you're sitting, right? I just – and I guess if you look around, it's sort of like the emperor wears no clothes. And we're not going to tell the emperor he doesn't wear any clothes, because if we tell him, then we're going to get in trouble. And then why don't you save a life and fight a fight against Monsanto? Why don't you save a life and, you know, push back on things that are causing cancer in dogs? Come on, people. Let's look at the things that have really been killing our family and our pets for years. And nobody cares about it. Nobody cares about it.
And look at, you know, I mean, nobody can debate the fact that cancer rates have gone through the roof for pets and for people. But, you know, for pets, you know, something like 2/3 of dogs, especially, dogs seem to get it more than cats, I think, because they're out and about more and exposed to more things. So if these dry foods, that if they're so great and everything we're doing is so great, then why is this disease incidence going up and up and up? Does that not say that we need to take a look at this and do something different? It's not about finding more chemo drugs. That's what conventional medicine does. Well, we better find some new drugs to fight this. Well, let's look at what's causing it in the first place and stop doing that. And then we don't have to go through this devastating heartbreak of losing a pet at, you know, young ages, younger and younger ages all the time, to a disease that could be, you know, to a large degree preventable. You know, we've talked about it before, but you know, you mentioned glyphosate. Dry foods, all these products, all these carbs that are not healthy to begin with, they're now so heavily sprayed with glyphosate, and that is showing up in the dry foods. And so not only are these foods becoming toxic because of the overprocessing and the high temperatures and their carbs to begin with, which is going to perpetuate inflammation, but now they're putting a known carcinogen. There's no guesswork here. Glyphosate is a known carcinogen, and they're putting it right on these products at the time of harvest. They're not getting removed. It's bad enough they were spraying it, you know, to prevent the weeds from growing in the fields. Now they spray it on these the grains and the lentils and the beans and the peas. They're sprayed on them so that they dry quicker. And that, you know, I heard an interesting thing the other day. I think they've been doing that since within like the last decade. And they looked at the incidence of like gluten intolerance and celiac disease and these things in people, and it's just skyrocketed since then. So it may not even be so much the wheat and the gluten, but the glyphosate that's causing a lot of these diseases to occur in people. So what do you think it's doing in your pet? And I think this is part of why sometimes it takes a while to transition pets to raw, because their guts are so hammered from the carbs and all these chemicals, and we're completely shifting the digestive process in the pet. And some pets transition really quick. Some, it takes some time. And it's not because the raw food is bad. It's because the pet's GI tract has been trashed by everything that's been going on. So you're talking about your neighbor, dog with chronic diarrhea. Well, I bet you anything that dog's probably had like 500 courses of metronidazole and God knows what else during those years of diarrhea and going into their conventional vet. So not only are they eating a toxic diet, but they're getting all these medications. That microbiome is so messed up, and we have to shift that back to a healthy microbiome that can digest raw food. And it doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't mean that the food's bad or that they're allergic to the food. It means that this poor pet, we need to completely recondition their digestive tract so that they can appropriately digest the food.
It's nuts. It's nuts that we don't see this, that we don't see how bad dry food is. You want to talk about chronic inflammation, Dr. JC. If you feed a dog dry food, we're going to get chronic inflammation in the dog. And I don't think that people really understand how bad chronic inflammation is. I mean, it leads to all types of health conditions. So if we see a dog that has, you know, allergies, skin disease, thyroid, joint, heart disease, spinal cord, you know, all these different things, you can look at chronic inflammation is probably the precursor to that, right? Inflammatory bowel disease, pancreatic problems. Chronic inflammation, you've said this before, is your precursor to all of these serious diseases. And so basically what we're looking at here, Dr. JC, is a buttload of dogs with leaky gut, right? Leaky gut syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's becoming a common condition in dogs. And basically what this is, guys, it's the lining, the protective lining in your dog's gut. It gets damaged. Okay. And then it allows these tiny digestive food particles into the bloodstream. And that's where this bad bacteria starts to outnumber the friendly bacteria. So if you have a dog that appears to be allergic to every protein, this was a great webinar that you did some time back, Dr. Jasek, when you were like, you know, stop switching up your protein so much, trying to, you know, find that right protein. Let's fix that gut, because it's more than likely leaky gut that's been caused by chronic inflammation.
Yeah, so, and I see that all the time. I see people spend hundreds of dollars on these allergy tests, and then it comes back. I've seen this so many times. It comes back that the poor dogs, they're allergic to pretty much everything they're eating, unless they, you know, well, I can feed alpaca or kangaroo. And it's not that they're allergic. It's exactly what you said, is that they have leaky gut. And when there's leaky gut, the protein molecules get into the bloodstream before they're completely broken down. They should be broken down into their individual amino acids before they're absorbed. But when leaky gut, those bigger molecules get in to the bloodstream and they cause inflammation. I experienced this myself personally, because I've had a lot of digestive issues. And I went in, had an allergy test, tested everything pretty much that I was eating, showed I was sensitive to. So what on earth do I eat? So, and interesting, I know I react to gluten if I eat gluten, but it didn't show that I was sensitive to gluten. Why? Because I hadn't been eating gluten, because I know I react to it. So it was clear that everything that was on that test were things I was reacting to, or I was eating because it was not being absorbed, digested and absorbed correctly. Now, this particular practitioner did not talk to me about leaky gut. She said, well, just start eliminating the stuff that you're the most sensitive to. And I did that and it didn't make any difference. And I see this all the time in pets. I think if you're going to do allergy testing on a kibble fed dog, you are 100% wasting your money. Put that money towards a fresh food diet. And then maybe on down the road, if we're doing everything, you know, quote unquote, right, you know, the dog's on a fresh food diet and we're doing all these things and we just can't figure out, well, why does this dog still have symptoms? Then maybe do the allergy test, see if something shows up. But I think that, you know, we're looking for the wrong things. There's this mindset. This is another mindset that we need to shift, that when dogs itch, it's a food allergy. I mean, people in their minds almost always go there, and they almost always go to, it's a protein allergy. And there's a difference between being truly allergic to something and having an inflammatory reaction. Like, the dogs can react to the carbs can be causing inflammation in their gut, but it's not a true allergy. It's a different physiological response. But, you know, I see all the time, oh, my dog's itchy, must have allergies to something. And so start, you know, changing up the proteins. And I think we're going down the wrong path there. We have to eliminate the carbs, heal the gut. Those are the two, you know, first steps. You know, work at reducing the inflammation, get down to the new baseline, take them off of everything they're on that's not medically necessary, and get them on a fresh food diet. And then we've talked about a new baseline, a raw diet that has a handful of ingredients. And then we start from there to, you know, build, you know, a program to keep that pet healthy. But usually doing that, just getting them on that basic fresh food diet, they improve so much that the tweaks we have to do are minor. And when people say, well, I can't afford it. Well, can you afford the, you know, half dozen supplements and the trip to the vet every other month for your Cytopoint or Apoquel prescription? I mean, come on. If you put the money towards that you're spending to treat your pet towards a raw food diet, I bet you'll end up saving money because of the health benefits. But, you know, it's another mindset thing. People have an idea about how much they are willing to spend each month for their pet's food. And they'll spend $300 at the vet, but they won't spend an extra $100 on a food that's going to keep them from going into the vet. So I think people really need to change the way they're looking at these things.
I think that people look at vet bills, Dr. Jasek, like people look at shipping. And let me explain that, shipping cost. So people will come over to our site, and we do a lot of shipping out to California, you know, all the states, that wherever you can get UPS within 3 days, we can ship. But we don't hide our shipping costs by increasing our food cost. Okay. So there are many companies out there that will charge $7-$8 a pound of food, right? Mm-hmm. And then they'll say free shipping. And then they'll come to my site, and my site's, you know, $3.99 a pound, and we have the true shipping cost in there. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the shipping costs. And I have to say to them, go back and compare the entire cost of whoever you're comparing me to and see if it, you know, how that looks then. But what people do is, if they see free shipping, they will pay more. They will pay more for the food because we're conditioned for this free shipping. And I think that it's the same way with vet bills. It doesn't register how much they're paying in vet bills. It's a real disconnect. So I think it's very important what you just said. Add up all the money that you spend for the Cytopoint, the Apoquel. Those aren't cheap. Those are at least, what, $100 a pop?
It's expensive stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's almost like, you know, maybe you'll get 8 weeks in the beginning, but then that stuff starts wearing off, and then it's every month. So you're adding that cost to that. So I think that we really have to get our heads around it and sit down, you know, take a spreadsheet and say, how much am I spending going into the vet? So I had someone email me the other day, and they've got a dog that's just gone lame. 5 years old, he's gone lame. He's had all these different x-rays. He's really at his sort of his breaking point. You know, he's like, I cannot figure this out. So he's finally going to raw. We don't know if that's going to help. I have asked, look, has a radiologist actually looked at the x-rays, because it's different. If a radiologist looks at it versus a surgeon, they're going to possibly see something. But he told me that the next step that the vet has recommended is that he do an MRI, and it's a $2,500 cost. So there comes a point for many people, Dr. Jasek, where they're just, they don't have the finances to keep going down that path. So basically what we're saying is we don't want you to have to go down that path. We would like to keep your dog very healthy as they can be. Granted, we've said in the past, it doesn't mean that raw fed dogs don't get cancer. Obviously what you just said, Dr. Jasek, there's so much in the grass coming up through their paws. So if you guys are going to get out there and fight for something, fight against Monsanto, would you? Help us fight that. There are places that you can go, things that you can do, you can write people. Why is Monsanto Roundup still in the world today? Why? Why is it here? Why are glyphosates here? They're just killing us. They're killing all of us.
And they don't, of course, you know, in you know, mainstream media, you don't get this information that how bad it is. I mean, I see my neighbors all the time out there with their little jugs just spraying because heaven forbid we have a weed grow. I mean, our backyard blooms in the summertime. There's so many weeds back there, but you know, I'm not gonna, if it was up to me, I'd just eliminate the lawn because I think growing is these finely groomed lawns in Colorado is insane. Anyway, I actually heard that on a podcast. Some of the best things we could do for this planet would be to stop growing lawns because we would be using way less water. We'd be eliminating all these chemicals, the weed killers and the fertilizers and all this stuff to keep these beautifully manicured lawns green. And, you know, we let native plants, not like you have an ugly yard, let native plants grow. Here in Colorado, drought resistant plants, they're beautiful. But people are like, oh, I got to have this finely groomed lawn. And how do you do that? Well, you go out there and you spray every little weed. It drives me crazy. I go to the open space parks here on the, you know, on the west side, Jefferson County open space parks in the foothills. And I can smell the herbicides. They spray like Thistle and all this stuff. They spray the weeds there. And it just makes me sick because I can smell it. I'm like, what is that doing to the wildlife, to the deer and to the insects and our pollinators that we so desperately need? The environmental impacts are huge. So yeah, I agree. Let's come together and fight battles that makes sense. You know, let's use our common sense and, you know, do some things that could really make a difference on this planet.
Yeah. And I really want to introduce my listeners and you, Dr. Jasek, to somebody that I think is out there fighting the fight on the human side. And obviously that always, you know, goes over to the pet side as well for us. But that's Dr. Pam Popper. And if you go to her website, it's Dr. Pam Popper, popper.com. Take a look because, you know, right there on her about page, she has a video that says food over medicine. Food over medicine. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, so she is the founder and president of Wellness Forum Health. And they do a lot of educational programs for consumers and providers. That help improve long-term health in people. She does a lot on cancer, but she's been a major proponent of really finding out the facts on COVID. She has brought lawsuits in Ohio. She puts out videos every morning. And this morning, Dr. Jasek, this was a fascinating video that she did where she was reading some studies about mask in the surgical rooms. And there were several studies that were done where it said that there was no real evidence that showed that mask in the surgical rooms prevented any type of bacteria contamination. So it was pretty interesting. But she is somebody that I would just like for people to take a look at because I think that she is very much on the same page that we are. She talks about healthy eating, healthy living, you know, very much against the toxins in the food and Monsanto. But anyway, it's Dr. Pam Popper, P-O-P-P-E-R. I think you would find her stuff very informative, as will our listeners. So that's just a little tip for today. We don't want you guys to think that Dr. Tracy, we don't just talk to each other. we do a lot of research. I mean, one of the people that you follow a lot is Peak Prosperity, Dr. Jasek, because they're big on the glyphosate, right? Or is that a separate person?
The big guy for the glyphosate is Jeffrey Smith, and his site is the Institute for Responsible Technology. So he is very outspoken, and he's done a lot of research. And you know, the other thing about these people that we follow, they're not just talking off the top of their head either. They have lots of statistics to back what they're saying and research based. This isn't just people putting their opinions out there. They have a lot of evidence to show. That's why I say when I say, you know, glyphosate's a known carcinogen, you go to Jeffrey Smith's website and he has all of the evidence that you would ever need to prove that. Peak Prosperity, Chris Martinson and Adam Taggart, they are about resilience and how do we, you know, how do we live better lives? How do we become more resilient in challenging times? And they also put out a lot of really great, very data-based. I mean, they're not just pulling ideas off the top of their head. They are researching the data, so you don't have to take the time to do it. And you go listen to their podcast, and there's just a wealth of information out there. But it's all backed. This is all backed by data. So, and they will sometimes debunk what you hear in mainstream media and tell you why statistically what you're hearing doesn't make sense, which will make you question what you're hearing out there, which is a good thing. So yeah, you got to get out there and you know, listen to different sources. You don't believe everything you hear, and don't believe us. Go out and research this stuff, but you know, for God's sake, don't believe what you hear on the evening news. That's like the worst place to get your information.
Yeah, you know what? There are a lot of alternative news outlets popping up, and I will say, for if you like to read the newspaper, Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, Epoch Times is a great non-biased paper. But I think that what's happening is when the censorship, right, when Facebook started doing all of this censorship, if you say the word vaccines on Facebook, they're going to take your post down. And again, remember, I've talked about that company Vector, that's who they are, that's what they have been paid to do, is to take all of that information down, calling it misinformation, calling people conspiracy theorists. So there's a lot of information out there that we would like, you know, to help you find. And again, that people want to know, what does that have to do with raw dog food? And again, I have to bring it back to this. If censorship is allowed, who do you think they're going to shut down? Because big pharma, big pet food has been against raw dog food for a very long time. Pedigree doesn't want these kind of shows to be aired that say, all of these ingredients that they're telling you is healthy is going to severely damage your dog's gut. They don't want that information out there. That's not good advertising. So it all goes together, right? We've got to understand. We've got to think. We've got to get more information. And again, hands-on experience. If you would like to see some dramatic changes in your dog's health, go to Raw Dog Food and Company. We can get you started on a raw dog food diet. Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K. You can find her at ahavet.com. They do phone consultations, no-sos. They're going to advise you on medications, on vaccines. We are all about your dog's health. So we are here for you every week. If you have a question, send us an email at info@rawdogfoodandco.com and we'll get it on the podcast. All right, Dr. Jasek. Well, thanks for fighting the good fight and for helping so many pets stay healthy in the world.
I truly believe it's the best thing. It's the best thing for pets, because it's not easy fighting mainstream, but I really believe that what we're doing is in the best interest of the pets. And that's what it's all about.
And you can sleep at night. You can sleep at night knowing you're doing the best. All right, Dr. Jasek, thanks so much. We will see you next week right here on the Raw Dog Food Show.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.